Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. This is Pastor Steve Atwood, and I'm glad you tuned in today. I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. And I hope that you'll receive some information today that will be informative, some things that you'll receive that will instruct you on how you can better understand your Bible. That's the purpose of our radio broadcast, as indicated by the title. We want you to understand the Word of God. We don't want you to believe that the Bible is hard to be understood and that the Bible is simply to be left to the preachers and the teachers and that kind of thing. The Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And in that verse of Scripture, we're told that it's important that we study, and we're told how to study, and that is by rightly dividing the Word of truth, and we're told the result of it is that we can be approved of God. Now, if you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sure you're saved, then certainly you want to be approved of God. And there is a way that you can be. And the sad truth is today, folks, that so many people out there in this religious world, they don't study their Bible. They simply go to church. They listen to what the preacher says. They take that as absolute truth without ever checking it out by the Scriptures. And so what I want to do is I want to give you some information that you can take and you can apply to your life and to the Word of God. And by that information, you can understand the Bible. You can understand what it means and what it says and so forth. That's the entire purpose of the program. And we hope that that will be fulfilled as you listen to the program. And if you've got any comments or questions or anything like that, we'll be giving you some information at the end of the program on how you can contact us, give you some information about our church, and some other things like that. So if you're where you can, take your Bible and follow along. If not, maybe you can get a pencil and piece of paper, jot down the Scripture references, and by all means, try to have some pencil and paper there ready to take the information that's in the broadcast about how you can contact us. We've been talking about the Great Commission. When people hear that phrase, the Great Commission, generally they think about Matthew chapter 28 or Mark chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the 11 apostles, Judas having forsaken Christ, and so there's now 11. And as Jesus Christ has died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, after that resurrection, he spends 40 days with his disciples. And he instructs them about what they're to do after he ascends into heaven. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Mark 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, what I tried to point out last time in our Bible study was that this is, no doubt, a great commission. However, it is not the commission for the church, the body of Christ, of which we are a part today. You say, what do you mean? All the churches believe that this is the commission that we're to follow today. Well, while you can make an application of part of the verses there as far as going into the world and preaching and so forth, it's obvious when you examine the verses that churches and preachers and teachers and so forth today are not fulfilling the instruction of the Great Commission. Not the one in Matthew 28 and not the one in Mark chapter 16. For example, in Matthew 28, the last verse there, verse 20, in addition to him saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, he also says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, what he commanded them to observe was the law of Moses in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. You can read it for yourself. The fact is that most churches today that say they're fulfilling the Great Commission do not believe that people are to keep the law and so forth, to observe all the law, the sacrificial offerings and all that kind of stuff. They know that we're free from the law. Over in Mark chapter 16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. There are multitudes of people that say, okay, that's the Great Commission for us today. But they ignore the part of verse 17 and 18 when it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, while there are churches that claim to be putting those verses into practice, we know that they are not really doing so. Oh, they might say they lay hands on the sick and they recover, and they might say that they can cast out devils and speak with new tongues. But the interesting thing is it also included, they shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. I have not yet found one preacher that's willing to put the verse to a real test. And neither have you. The next time you have somebody tell you that they believe in following the commission of Mark chapter 16, verse 16, 17, and 18, encourage them to put to test the statement there, he shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. You see, they're not following the instruction that they say they're following. They only take part of it and they extract part of the verse and leave the rest alone. That's why I can make the statement with all surety and all certainty that people are not following the Great Commission. They're only trying to follow part of it, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Another interesting thing about these commissions is that we find that the Apostle Paul, who says he is the Apostle to the Gentiles at least five different times in the Scriptures, in Romans through Philemon, we know he's not operating under this commission because the commission said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So we know and we understand that this commission in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16 was the commission for the nation, for the disciples, the little flock, if you will, over there in the book of Acts, as they ministered to the Jews, to the Jewish nation. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Acts chapter 3, ye men of Israel, hear these words. The ministry was to the Jew. As a matter of fact, when we read that commission, sometimes there's a confusion there among people, and that's what we're going to address today, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And he says also to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, how is it that that commission can be fulfilled in light of the things that Christ had taught the 12 during his earthly ministry? Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 10, the first place that the Lord Jesus Christ lists, or the Bible lists, all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it lists them there in Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, 4. And then it says in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we see this commandment really exemplified in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When this Gentile woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he told her that he was not sent to the lost sheep, but he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just like he said in Matthew chapter 10 to his disciples, he didn't say go into all the world. He said, as you go, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we see very plainly that in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the 12 are sent out, they are not sent out to the Gentiles, they are sent out to the Jews. As a matter of fact, The Lord Jesus Christ makes that clear in several places as He sends them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And in Matthew 24, He says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." So the Lord Jesus Christ tells them to limit their ministry to the nation Israel. But when He gives the Great Commission, He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want you to consider something in Acts chapter 1, because there's a reason for these instructions, and there's a reason that they weren't followed specifically as people think they should have been. They actually were followed specifically, I should say, but they're not followed in the way people thought they would be followed. You see, when Jesus Christ tells the disciples in Matthew 10, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," and in Matthew 15, when He tells the Gentile woman, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," that's because of the fact that the Bible says Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. In Acts chapter 1, before the Lord ascends into heaven, the Bible says in verse 4, Acts 1:4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, You have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Interesting to note there that their concern was the kingdom. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." And He said unto them, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Notice that there was a very specific order there, a very specific commandment in relation to their ministry. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto Me where? In Jerusalem, that's Jewish territory, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that sounds just like the Great Commission. It certainly does. The problem is that when you get over to Acts chapter 10, you read some verses over there that Peter speaks that makes it clear that there was an order that was to be followed. And when he said start in Jerusalem, that there was something that had to take place before they were to go beyond Jerusalem. You see, when he said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he clarifies that when he says you're to go first to Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I've heard preachers say, you know, try to apply this to the church, the body of Christ, and they'll say, well, Chattanooga is your Jerusalem, and Hamilton County is Judea, and Tennessee is Samaria, and so forth. And they make an application like that that is absolutely wrong, because, number one, this commission is not to us, and these instructions were not to us. We're not to start in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. This is Jewish instructions to Jews who were preaching to Jews. And even though he said go into all the world, there was an order that had to be accomplished before that could take place. How do we know that? Well, Acts chapter 10 is very revealing as far as this truth is concerned. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Cornelius is the man that's mentioned earlier in the chapter. In chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And so Cornelius sends for Peter. They go to Peter's house there. And in verse 21, it says, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to read all the passage, but notice what Peter says in verse 26 of Acts 10. Then Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And notice this verse now. This is very revealing. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now I want you to think about this. If the commission said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and the preacher and the commission said, go into all nations, how is it that Peter said it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? Well, folks, the explanation is Acts chapter 1, where we just read. He said you're to go to Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. You see, back there in Matthew 15, when Jesus was confronting that woman, or the woman was confronting Christ, about healing her daughter, he said it's not meek to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In other words, the children's bread was the truth of the gospel that had to first go to the nation Israel. The idea and that is presented in the scriptures is the nation Israel would respond to his messiahship. They would accept him as Messiah. They would become a kingdom of priests, and they would go out into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature, baptizing them that believe, and so forth. And this is all related to the nation Israel. And when you see that and you understand that, then you'll have an understanding of why there's so much confusion today about the commission, about water baptism, and about what the gospel really is. The gospel today is not repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. The gospel today is Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that is the gospel that Paul preached. So when Cornelius sent for Peter and Peter came down to his house, Peter said, it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. Then Peter expounds to him the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what he says down in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's what the vision was all about when the meat came down from heaven. And Peter said, I can't eat of that. And he said, what I've cleansed and made clean is clean. He said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he said, go into every nation. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Peter preached to Cornelius exactly the message that he had received. It was not the message of the grace of God. He said it was the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That's what Peter preached to Cornelius. That's what Cornelius believed. And that's what Cornelius accepted. And in verse 35, Peter said, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, I want you to notice how dramatically that differs from what the Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 3. You see, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. When you read your Bible, when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are reading information there that is tied to the prophetic program for the nation Israel. When you read the first part of Acts, you're reading information there that relates back to the prophetic program and the fulfillment of that prophecy. But in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and Paul said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God to usward. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. He says that at least five different times. In Ephesians 3, he says that he was given that dispensation of the grace of God. Along with that dispensation, Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So whereas the 12 were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Paul is preaching the gospel of the grace of God, sometimes called the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of the kingdom was what Peter preached unto Cornelius, and he said, I preach no other things. He said, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say. In other words, he preached unto Cornelius the same message he'd been commissioned to preach. Paul, on the other hand, he preached the gospel of the grace of God. Peter said in Acts 10, verse 35, in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. But notice what Paul said in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now people say, well, are there contradictions in the Bible? Yes, there are contradictions in the Bible. We just read one right there. On the one hand, Peter said, it is by works of righteousness. Paul, on the other hand, said, it's not by works of righteousness. You would have to agree that by works of righteousness and not by works of righteousness are contradictory statements. They're not errors in the Bible. It's simply different information, because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared to the Apostle Paul and saved him, he gave him a new revelation. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I didn't receive it of man, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. You can read that in Galatians chapter 1. So the Apostle Paul received a new and distinct and separate revelation from that which had been given to the disciples. The disciples were to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, but there was an order that had to be followed. It was to go to Jerusalem first, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. When the Apostle Paul is saved, he says that God has saved him and given him the ministry of preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and it is no longer Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria. He said Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And the Apostle Paul was that due time testifier of the grace of God. So the commission of the nation Israel, the commission of the disciples, while it is a great commission, is simply not the commission that you and I are to follow today. What is our commission? Well, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that we have a commission. He says we have the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 18, he says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The good news today is that your salvation is totally and completely dependent upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And if you'll trust in Him, you can be saved today. It's not by water baptism. It's not by joining the church. It's not by walking an aisle. It's not by becoming a better person. It's not by inviting Jesus into your heart. It's not by confessing your sins or anything else. The truth today is salvation is a free gift. It's by believing the facts of the gospel that Christ died on that cross for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And it's by receiving the free gift of salvation, believing that Christ died for your sins and God accepted that payment as payment in full, and your sin is no longer the issue. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. And that's great news today. And that's what we're to preach, not the gospel of the kingdom, not water baptism, and not beginning at Jerusalem and in Judea. It's to all men everywhere the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel committed to our apostle, the Apostle Paul. I hope that you'll take this information and maybe study it this week. If you've heard something that you disagree with, then give me a call or take your Bible and study these things. Read your Bible. Don't just let somebody tell you what the Bible says. Read the Bible so that you might have an understanding of the Bible. And remember that Paul said, in order to understand your Bible, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so by telephone. My number is 423-847-0768. If you want to send me a letter, you can write to the church, Grace Bible Church, 3827 Hickson Pike, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37415. Or visit our website at Understanding Your Bible, all one word, understandingyourbible.com. Also, we'd love to have you visit with us in our church services at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike, and we meet at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Our morning service is at 11 o'clock, and we have informal Bible study on Sunday night back in our fellowship hall at 6 o'clock, and you're certainly welcome to attend any or all of those services. I hope to hear from you this week. And if you have any questions or comments, by all means, either email me, write me a letter, or give me a telephone call at 423-847-0768. Until next week, I hope that you'll study your Bible and that you'll come to an understanding that there is a way that you can have the knowledge of what God desires you to have by following the admonition of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.